Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here Wednesday, August the 25th, 2021, 16 and a half minutes past the hour. We've done our political conversation this morning, and now we turn to the other big news story of our time, COVID-19 and the pandemic. A lot of news this week, a lot of news, not just numbers coming out of this particular pandemic. Vaccination levels in the country still run very low, right around the 50% mark, with the FDA approving the Pfizer vaccine earlier this week. Some businesses, some colleges, including The Ohio State University here in Ohio, are now mandating that you get the vaccine if you are a student or an employee of The Ohio State University. We're getting stories now from people at Pfizer that there could be variants of the COVID virus that might, that the vaccine might not work against. The question of boosters are in people's mind at this particular point. Do masks work? We're still having that conversation. And some people now are saying the COVID vaccine could wane in 6 months in elderly people and healthcare workers to under 50%, according to tests that have been done in Britain. And amongst all that, these are some pretty grim numbers. If you haven't been paying attention in the United States, last August, now this was the year with no vaccine, the year of the start of the pandemic. Last August, our 7-day average in the United States for new cases was right about at 1,000. Most of the time actually coming in at 7, 8, 900, not 1,000. Second summer of the pandemic, August 2021, with the vaccine in place, our 7-day average is right around 2,900 new cases, and we right now in the United States are at our highest level of new cases since October of 2021. With all that information, there's a lot to sort out this hour, and nobody I'd better sort it out with than a best-selling author, a great doctor, and a good friend to me who gets up at 6 a.m. to do these interviews live, my pal, the legendary Dr. Art Uhlein. Dr. Uhlein, an interesting time to be sure.
It certainly is, Scott. It certainly is. I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Do you have me fully plugged in?
I do. Is this a little better?
Yes, actually, I think the problem is with my hearing aids, not with your system. These are such strange times. You and I talked, I think, in early June. And when we talked then, the 7-day rolling average in the U.S. was about 15,000 cases a day. The average number of Americans dying was around 1,000. It goes up and down like a roller coaster. Yesterday, in just one day, there were 260,000 new cases reported. And across the country, in the state of Ohio, you hit nearly a record 4,000 cases in one day. I mean, it's just crazy. The sad part of this is that your spike in Ohio and the spikes that we're seeing around the country come after a dramatic drop in cases that actually lasted for several weeks. And people just got careless. I heard you ask the question, do masks work or don't they work? Does distancing work or doesn't it work? Yes. Yes, of course they work. And if you want proof of that, you should look to the country that everybody was pointing to saying, you don't need masks. Sweden told his population, just go about your business, do whatever it is you want, please be careful though. And now, if you compare Sweden to its next door neighbor on the same peninsula, they share Norway, they share one peninsula, they share genetic similarities, and Sweden has killed 10 times more people since the epidemic started than have died in Norway on a per population basis. Yes, yes, masks work. I by the way, in Ohio, you can expect the death rate to start climbing. It's way down now. It's been down for weeks. But the death rate always trails the new case rate by several weeks. So I am really, really troubled. I'm terribly disturbed. I think I quoted that old thing, you know, one death is a tragedy and 1,000 deaths is just a statistic. We become numb to these numbers, but these are crazy numbers of people who are dying. And we have got ourselves into a situation now where there are three pandemics going on. I told you last time we talked, I talked about two pandemics. There's one pandemic for the people who are fully immunized, and we were seeing breakthrough infections, yes, but we were not seeing any of these people die. They were getting sick, but not as sick. They were getting sick, but not needing hospitalization. And I said there's a second pandemic for those who have not been immunized. And although some of them may get away with mild cases, that's the group that ends up in the hospitals, in the ICUs, on ventilators. And that is the group that contributes 99% of all the deaths. It is very, very rare now to see an immunized person die. And sadly, it is not unusual to see an unimmunized person die in this country. But there's a third pandemic developing right now, and it's the group that we have been referred to as having long COVID or so-called long haul COVID. These are people who will survive their infections but may never get well. They stop shedding the virus, their fever goes away, but we now know they continue to have symptoms that include difficulty breathing, shortness of breath, severe fatigue, brain fog, they have trouble thinking, they keep coughing, they have headache, heart palpitations, joint pain, and trouble sleeping. And somewhere between 10 and 30% of all individuals who get infected with COVID, even a mild case, will develop long COVID. And we still don't know how long it will last. It could be a lifetime. There's reason to believe now, we see now that it's interfering with the ability of people to return to work. It could have a stunning effect on healthcare resources and costs. I mean, what are we going to do when we have a million people chronically ill with long COVID? We just don't know the answer to that question. So I find this to be a very, very troubling time. And the saddest part of it all is that so much of the trouble is preventable with something called a vaccine and immunization. It boils down to that, Scott.
Dr. Uhlein, how is it possible that the first year of the pandemic in August, we had about, in the United States, about 1,000 7-day average cases, new cases. The year of the vaccine, where you can get a vaccine anywhere right now, absolutely free, and there are no lines at this particular point, that the 7-day average right now of new infections is averaging right under 3,000, and the highest since October, when we were back inside last year. That's a staggering number to me.
It's crazy. And the saddest part of it is all avoidable. we have a, first of all, I think we should be upfront about the vaccine. The vaccine in its current schedule, two shots of the mRNAs, one shot of the J&J, are not 100% effective at preventing infection. You can still get COVID. They've been called breakthrough infections. But they are almost 100% effective at preventing an illness that is so severe you require hospitalization, the use of a ventilator, or die. 99.5% of all the deaths are among the unimmunized. So one could look at this. There are two ways to look at this. There are those who say, oh, the vaccine isn't working. And there are those like me who say, well, maybe the vaccine in its current schedule of dosing is not working if your definition of working means it prevents 100% of all infections. But it's sure working well if your definition of success is preventing death, if your definition of success is preventing hospitalization. It has caused me to look a little more carefully at this term breakthrough and working and dosage schedule. And it turns out, if you look at the research carefully, it turns out that the likelihood of the vaccine working to prevent infection is probably going to be dependent on a third dose. Johnson & Johnson just released information yesterday, today, that a booster dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine raises your level of circulating neutralizing antibodies ninefold. We already know that a booster shot of the two mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, boosts your level of circulating neutralizing antibodies tenfold. And there are now some studies which suggest that if you can get your levels of circulating neutralizing antibodies that high, there are no breakthrough infections, or almost none. So what are circulating neutralizing antibodies? Antibodies are the substances your body creates in response to exposure to an infectious organism, a virus, a bacterium. And if your levels are high enough, it actually prevents the infection if you're exposed to the real thing. So we have antibodies, almost every one of us, because of immunizations to diphtheria, to tetanus, to whooping cough, to measles, to mumps. To smallpox. We've been doing this for decades. And that's why you don't see measles, mumps, polio, smallpox in this country. I looked at this information and I said, I'm 85 years old. I know my immune system doesn't work as well as a 30-year-old's. So I know that my level of circulating neutralizing antibodies, the things I need to block an infection, is not high enough. So I went out and got my third vaccine. Some people call it a booster shot. Personally, I don't think it should be called the booster shot. I think, and in some countries like Israel, France, Germany, there is no such thing as a booster shot. This is your third shot. It's part of the series, and it is designed to give you the highest possible level of circulating neutralizing antibodies. That's what can actually block an infection. So I think we're learning something new every day. People ask, how come they keep changing the facts? You and I have talked about this before. It's because nothing like this has ever happened before. This this disease, COVID, coronavirus, does not follow the rules. So we're learning something new about it every day. And if there were only one thing I would want people to remember after hearing us today, it would be that your level of protection is completely dependent on the level of circulating neutralizing antibodies you have in your bloodstream. And there are only two ways to get circulating neutralizing antibodies. One is to get an infection, and the other is to get immunized. And here's the blowaway fact. If you want really high levels, if you want really protective levels, you ain't going to get it with an infection, because the immunization actually produces higher levels of those circulating antibodies than a natural infection. So if you think you're going to get away, well, oh, heck, you know, I'll get away. It'll be a mild illness. I'll let myself get infected. I'm in good shape. I'll do this the natural way. You are playing with wildfire. Not just the risk of hospitalization and death, but the risk that you could end up with this chronic unwellness called long COVID.
You know, doctor, that's been an interesting question, that if you have gotten COVID at some point, and then you went and got the vaccine as well, is your protection greater because you had it and also got the vaccine?
I'm so glad you raised that issue, because in fact, the science is very clear on this issue. Of circulating antibodies after an immunization in a person who has previously been infected is 10 times higher than the level of circulating antibodies in a person who only had the infection and was not immunized afterward. Here's something that'll surprise folks out there. Hey, folks, you want to know what I call a breakthrough infection? A breakthrough infection is another infection in someone who's already had COVID, and it's happening everywhere. And the reason it's happening is because one episode of COVID may not give you high enough levels of circulating antibodies to prevent a second infection. Yes, people who have had COVID are getting reinfected.
You know, doctor, one of the issues here is somebody like Jesse Jackson. Now, Jesse Jackson is an older gentleman, I believe 79 years old. He was one of the first back in January to get the vaccine. He did that very publicly. And then he participated in some of these rallies for voting rights. Now, since the weekend, he's been in with his wife in a Chicago area hospital and not feeling very well. And I think people hear a story like that and they go, well, gee whiz, Jesse Jackson and his people thought he was good to go because he had the vaccine, and now he's in a hospital.
Several days ago, I received the news that a good friend of mine, a 78-year-old bicycle marathoner, was in the hospital, and he died 2 days later. And he didn't die of COVID. About 6 weeks ago, actually it's longer than that, it's months ago, a friend of mine called to tell me that his 29-year-old child's daughter had died suddenly. Didn't die of COVID, died of a brain aneurysm. One of these days, Scott, you're going to send an email inviting me to be with you, and you're going to get a response from my wife or someone else saying, we're sorry to inform you, Art died. You know, I'm 85, that happens. So I think it's time to stop time to be really clear about some of this stuff and to point out to people that people do die. We die of things other than COVID. COVID isn't going to keep that from happening. But there are 626,000 people in the United States so far, and climbing, who have died of COVID, an avoidable, preventable death. There's an old saying we have in medicine, liars, figures don't lie. But liars can figure. And there are some fantastic stories circulating now, lies, about COVID. I'll tell you the wildest one. The wildest one is from a doctor in Iowa who's running around the world telling stories about how COVID immunizations in parents is making toddlers start menstruate. He describes 4,000 children, girls, under the age of four, who started menstruating blood clots the day after their parents were immunized. I mean, it's crazy stuff out there, Scott. Don't fall for that crap. What else can I call a medical term? It's crazy what's happening. They are taking advantage of people to try to get their 3 minutes of fame. And by the way, the National Group of Medical Boards has announced they're going to take action against these doctors who are lying. They're going to take their license away. The problem is it's going to take 2 or 3 years to do it.
Dr. Uhlein, this is what I cannot figure out. Okay, now we have said, as a society, that this is political. There's no doubt there is a political overhang to this, whether we like it or not. But if you really have concern about the vaccine, most people I know, even the most lower economic people, see people at the neighborhood clinic, the free clinic. Most communities have them. Everybody's got a doctor they know. Now, if we had a cold, if we had the flu, if we had cancer, if we had diabetes, what would we do? We would call our doctor. If we started to feel bad and it turned out to be COVID, how are we getting these positive diagnoses? We're going to the health department. We're going to the hospital. We're going to the ER. We're going to our doctors. So why, regardless of what television's saying, or radio, or newspapers, or the internet, why don't you just call your personal physician and ask him if you should get it, period?
Well, Scott, you're asking me for a rational explanation for irrational behavior. And there is no explanation. Why would a doctor go on video and lie about COVID? There is no explanation. Why would someone, the CDC today quantified the risk of hospitalization for unvaccinated people. If you are unvaccinated and you get coronavirus, you are 29 times more likely to require hospitalization than a person who is vaccinated. I mean, the facts are out there, and somehow people are able to overlook these facts. It's something it's called a reinforcement bias. We tend to want information that reinforces what we would like to believe or what we already believe. And the problem with today's world is that people are able to sort themselves out now on the internet so that they only receive the information they want to hear. As a result, they are not getting the full background, the kind of advice and information that they would get if they just called their physician. You know, I call your doctor and ask, have you been immunized?
There you go.
That's all you got to do. Hey, doc, have you been immunized or not? I just told you, Scott, I've been immunized 3 times.
Well, Well,
I read something that suggests I may be bulletproof now. I like that term.
Well, you know, Dr. Euline, we're hearing stories this week with the FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccination that somebody from Pfizer is saying, somebody high up on the chain is saying, well, you know, there could be variants down the road, not the Delta variant that we're facing right now, but there could be variants that the vaccination doesn't work against. They're saying that the COVID shot in 6 months possibly might not be more than 50% effective in healthcare workers and in the elderly. You know, it there're just a lot of questions at this point, and these are reliable news sources, not phony baloney stuff.
Well, I don't have a problem with questions. Whenever something is kind of in the dark and questionable, I turn for advice to a man I really never liked, Donald Rumsfeld. All right. And Donald Rumsfeld used a scheme called the Johari window to explain things that were confusing. The Johari window is a device that psychologists created in the 1950s to categorize the nature of communications between two people. And the window had four panes. One of the panes was good information that is known only to me. You don't know it, I know it. Information that is known only to you, information that both of us know, and stuff out there, good information that neither of us knows. So Rumsfeld took this and he adapted it to fit his discussion about military intelligence. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Okay, he came up with the known knowns, the unknown knowns, the known unknowns, and the unknown unknowns. What are these? The known knowns are things we are aware of and we understand. These are facts that we know and understand. Then there are unknown knowns, things we would understand if we knew about them, but we're not aware of them yet. And by the way, COVID is a really great example of how every day we learn something new about COVID that we didn't know yesterday. And then this category of the known unknowns, things we are aware of but don't understand. And what would be in that category? In that category, you would have things like, things like some of these crazy things that people are making up. Okay? I mean, we know that's crazy. The category that scares me are the unknown unknowns. Those variants you're talking about. We all, you know, will there be variants? Yeah, we know there will be variants. That is a known known. What will they be like? Will they be killer variants? Will everybody who gets one die? Or will they be completely susceptible to high levels of circulating neutralizing antibodies? We don't know. We don't know if they'll come, when they'll come, what they'll be, and how we will respond to them. So we are drowning in unknown unknowns right now, and people are using the things we don't know to scare people, all right? I just tell people, focus on what we know for sure today and use the information that can help you to protect yourself. And there's one fact out there that's really clear. And that is that your risk of dying of COVID is fantastically much higher if you're not immunized and get COVID than if you get COVID and you're not immunized. I rest my case. I've had three shots. You call my number. Hey, doc, have you been immunized? Three times. Now, by the way, some people will ask me, hey, wait a minute. You don't have one of those rare immune diseases. I say, actually, I have a very, very common immune problem. What's that? I am 85 years old, and my immune system just won't work like yours, kiddo. So I need to crank it up. I actually went to the drugstore, talked to the pharmacist. I said, I'm not going to lie. I don't have one of those strange immune disorders, but I'm 85, and I know my immune system doesn't work as well as a 30-year-old's. Can I have the vaccine? They said, of course you can have the vaccine, because we're throwing out vaccine right now. It's going bad because not enough people are coming in. Is that crazy, Scott?
It's unbelievable. And I often think about this, Dr. Euleen. Very early on in this, you said something that was very important. And I wonder now, Joe Biden's president, we have a different president than we did when this all started. Now, it would be very unpopular, but we've got a big problem on our hands in this country. Now, wouldn't it be feasible that we could get one more stimulus check passed that would get people groceries and rent and utilities for 1 month? And we could tell people, listen, you've got 2 weeks. Get to the grocery store, get it all out of your system, because we are absolutely closing this country down for 30 days. Now, everybody in your household who has COVID, it would either develop, go away, whatever, in that period of time as a contagious nature. Everybody who's hospitalized, the same thing. If that happened, wouldn't that eradicate it in this country, or pretty much eradicate it?
You're indulging in fantasy, but I'll let you have that one, and I will respond. It would work, absolutely, if everyone got immunized. But what will happen, right now we've got, 50% of the country not immunized, and two-thirds of that group saying, there ain't no way I'm going to get immunized. So that group remains as a susceptible pool the minute someone flies in on a plane from Italy, not China, but Italy, who's been infected because they were in China 2 weeks earlier, or they just got infected, or someone flies in from Brazil who has the Lambda variant of this disease, or someone flies in from France who has the next new variant, who knows what they'll call it, Sigma, Epsilon, Rho. So, no, you, as long as you have a pool of 100 million people who volunteered to remain susceptible, locking the country down will only allow it to quiet for 3 weeks. Hey, you want to know the effect? Just look at Ohio. I got a picture on the screen of my computer of Ohio, and then you should see, boy, around November, December, you guys were skyrocketing. You had a new case average, rolling average at its peak of about 12,000 a day. Then I roll my thing down to June 10th, and the rolling average, here we are, 400 a day. Woo! You got down to 250 a day on June 28th. What are we up to now? 4,000 yesterday, Scott. So unless we pull together as a country, and unless everyone who is medically capable of receiving a vaccine gets one, that scenario wouldn't work, couldn't work, even if you could get people to cooperate.
Want to come to Ohio on this next question, because I think this is probably the most important question I could ask. August 2020 in Ohio, new cases per day averaged right around 1,000. We had some 800 days, some 1,000 days. New cases, that's non-vaccinated, August of 2020. Now, right, that gave us the December in Ohio of new cases per day, certain days, 11,000 people. August 2021, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000. So if the August of 2020 of 1,800-900 gave us the winter of 11,000 a day. The August of 2021 with nearly 3,000 a day, and we're not done yet. What's that going to give us the winter of?
It's going to give you a catastrophic winter. And by the way, yesterday you did set a record, 4,117 new cases. You are on the way up. And the deaths are going to start following 3 to 4 weeks behind. It's going to be a catastrophic winter. But Scott, it will not be a catastrophic winter for those people who have had three shots. It will not be a catastrophic winter for those people who have had two shots of the J&J vaccine.
Well, all that being said, you know, our governor, Mike DeWine, who's taking a lot of heat because of what he did last year during the pandemic, mask mandates, shutting things down, the legislature took that power away from him, and he went on television last week and said, listen, I beg the schools to put mask mandates in, if only for a few weeks. He also appealed to parents. He said, just because your school doesn't have a mandate doesn't mean your child can't wear a mask. And he, and it probably will hurt him political in this very Republican state, that I don't have the power to do what I did last year. The legislature took that away from me. I can't do it. So you've got to do it. And here we are.
And there you are. And if you want to know where you're going to be, I would suggest that people go online and look up new COVID cases or new COVID deaths in Florida today, where Killer DeSantis is at busy at work. And the new cases in Florida went from a low 7-day average around 1,500 to 56,000 new cases on August 16th. And if I just click on this and switch from new cases to deaths, surprise, surprise! They're up from 30 deaths a day in Florida to 227. And that's going way up from here. What kind of crazy person leading a state would allow people to remain ignorant of those facts? What kind of person who knows these facts would not get immunized? Don't ask me to make sense of it. It doesn't make sense.
Now, just to point this out, because I did bring politics into it for a second there, let's go back to our last president, by the way, Donald Trump, because at a rally, now, Donald Trump said at the rally, take the vaccines. I've had the vaccine. In Alabama, he said this. He was
booed.
You know, you can't put this on Trump's doorstep at this point. He told him.
Well, you can put it on. I'm sorry, but he cannot take the stain off his doorstep.
Right.
But he's trying half-heartedly. I saw that speech, and it's a half-hearted, almost joking attempt. So he can say, I'm telling people to get the vaccine. You can just hear the frustration in my voice. For me, every one of these deaths is a tragedy. I've gone through that anger phase. I'm not angry at them anymore. I just feel so desperately sorry for the families they will leave behind. I feel so sorry for the men and women, and by the way, it's tending to be more women than men. The proportion's higher among women who will get long COVID and who at least for weeks or months will feel so sick they can't work.
Well, I just want to qualify that last statement about former President Trump. What he did during his presidency will be left up for historians and people to critique in regard to coronavirus. But I guess the shocking thing to me about that Alabama speech was whether he did it half-heartedly, whether it was jokingly, whether it was so he could say that he tried to get people vaccinated. The fact I've never in the 5 years that he's been on the political scene. And this is a rally. These are people who like him.
Yeah.
This is the guy who said, you know, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and they'd still vote for me. And that's probably true. His people booed him. This may go higher than Trump in politics. We've been laying it there for a while, but when they booed him, I thought, gee whiz.
Well, there's an old saying, ignorance can be cured with facts, but stupidity is forever.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the way that one goes. Dr. Euless, would you go in public today without a mask?
Outside, I go in my backyard. I walk down the street, but I carry a mask. And if I pass, I walk out to the curb. I give people distance. And I do not expose myself indoors to other people other than my wife. We've been very sheltered during this period of time.
Is this going to take... The states have handled it up till this point, and legislatures now, as in Ohio, are making new rules. The governor of Florida has his own set of rules. The governor of Texas has his own set. The governor of California has his own set. In the end, this is a national catastrophe. Is it going to take the federal government making a mask mandate, making the vaccines mandatory because they are approved by the FDA, is that what it's going to take in the end?
No. No, what it's going to take are the deaths of a few hundred more children. 16 children have died in Florida. Now, the liars will tell you, oh, children don't die. It's a mild illness in children. Yeah? Well, I challenge your listeners to look up the real facts. Go to the Florida Department of Health. That's DeSantis's Department of Health, and you will find that 16 children under the age of 19 have died already. So once children start dying visibly and in larger numbers, then this country will do something about it, and not until then.
But will they say... it was something else. I've never seen anything, social question. I've never seen anything like this questioned. There's always another reason.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it either, and stop trying to make sense of it, Scott. It doesn't make sense.
Is this the greatest catastrophe of our time?
Certainly of my time. I've been around 85 years. Worldwide, we've killed so many more people than the wars have killed. It's just fantastic. Can you imagine if we fought a war and 600,000 people died? this is insane. It doesn't add up. And I guess the one thing I want people to take away from here is this is not going away. COVID is with us forever. Protect yourselves if you haven't been immunized yet. Go to your drugstore today. Can I guarantee that will protect you against the next variant? No. Can I guarantee that you'll be absolutely protected against infection before you get your third shot? No. But go today, protect yourself and your family.
Dr. Art Euless, always a pal. Dr. Euless, thank you for the information, and I know I'll be calling soon because as the doors close here in a four-season state, it could be rough at this point.
Well, I pray for you all.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
The legendary Dr. Art Euless, there's the information. He's not a member of a political party, and at this point, he's not even a practicing doctor, so he's just there to give you information, which is hopefully what we do. Back in 10 minutes.
Place. For legendary talk show host Larry King.
You were hurt when they gave you the 1 year. How did this make you feel when you got the news? 27 years with that company.